Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, December 7th, 2012, the National Day of Remembrance, as we remember the 71st anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, AM 1030, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and then kvoi.com, also streaming the show. The show is also available anytime, anywhere by listening at buckmastershow.com. The program is also posted usually about an hour after its conclusion to the TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. There's also a link now to the Buckmaster Show at GVNews.com. That's the homepage for the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. We also have a link at blogforarizona.com. That is prominently displayed on their homepage as well. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Jim DeGruy. Jim is the Transportation Services Director for the Regional Transportation Authority and the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG. Joining me in studio to question Mr. DeGruy, Dylan Smith is with us, editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, an online news service. If you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a question or comment for Mr. DeGruy, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dylan, good to see you.
Great to be here,
and
as always.
Jim DeGruy, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks, Bill. Glad to be here today.
It's very serendipitous to have you on the program today. Yesterday was a Pima Association of Governments, a PAG meeting, a very active meeting. A lot of news came out of that meeting, including to fix all of our potholes in the Tucson area, you're going to need some big bucks, like about $2 billion.
Yeah, Bill, it's a pretty daunting problem. And, you know, what we've been seeing is a result of diminishing revenues coming in. What we see with local governments is that they're having to pay the water bill, the debt service, and the electric bill first. And if there's money left over, they apply it on preventative maintenance. And they've been unable to do that the last couple of years, and we're suffering as a result.
In Tucson, 25% of major roads and 55% of the residential roads are in failing condition. And in Pima County, it's pretty much two-thirds of our roadways in poor or failing condition. When you do those grades, Jim DeGruy, what would failing condition be? I mean, is that we're probably all familiar with driving on the failing condition streets.
Yeah, what we generally look at when we're looking at pavement condition is the cost to bring it up to a good quality of service, one where it's comfortable to ride on. There's no pavement distress. You're not looking at major cracks and so forth. And I mean, there's ways to preserve pavements. If you treat them regularly and aggressively, you're putting seal coats on, you're putting chip seals on some of the major roads, or you're overlaying them, you can keep the roads in a very good level of condition for a modest sum of money. I mean, it's cost money, don't get me wrong, but what happens is if you allow that to deteriorate too far, you lose the ability to address these roads with simple treatments. You basically have to go back in and rebuild them, and that's where a lot of our roads are right now.
Here's Dylan Smith now, TucsonSentinel.com.
Jim, that $2 billion, is that the estimate to just sort of emergency patch our potholes, or is that what it would cost to bring all of our roads up to a decent
condition? The latter. It's the latter. I mean, you know,
so
I
potholes is just kind of a shorthand.
Yeah, the potholes are a shorthand issue. You know, what we're talking about is to try to bring those roads back up to a level where we can, on a sustainable basis, continue to do maintenance on an in an ongoing fashion for the least possible cost.
And how much is the $100 million that voters just passed in the city of Tucson going to help with that?
You know, I haven't looked at in great detail at the city's program. I know that they are largely focusing on arterial roadways. I know that in addition to the money that is in the $100 million bond program, we're looking at ways that we can bring in additional regional monies to bear on that issue as well. I know that there's some improvements that we've been working with the city of Tucson is on doing there. That's really focused on the arterial roads. What we're really not seeing a whole lot of work being done on is the residential streets, which that's going to be an ongoing challenge. Fortunately, they don't pose the safety problems that we see on the major roads, but they still are an aggravant, and we are still looking at a continuing deteriorated condition there, with what we've got in hand right now.
Maintenance was not when voters approved the RTA plan in May of 2006. Was there a maintenance component, or this was pretty much for new roads, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was exclusively for new roads. In fact, one of the things that we had in the enabling legislation was something called maintenance of effort, and that basically we took that to mean that right now there's a better definition that we can pursue, but in general terms, I'd suggest that that's largely the local governments continue to maintain their facilities as they have been, and we'll look at adding to the roadway network with the RTA plan, and that's just as we would be looking at the local governments to continue their bus routes that they already had, and not supplant it with RTA dollars. The RTA dollars were for additional improvements.
Beyond the roads report, there was some other news coming out of yesterday's meeting. Executive Director Gary Hayes is resigning because of health issues. What's the plan to move ahead and find a replacement?
Well, I can't speak to the plan because that's ultimately up to the board. And first, let me say, I can't tell you how much of an impact Mr. Hayes has had in this community. While I think a lot of people were involved and rightly claim some credit for having brought about the RTA plan, Mr. Hayes really kept the staff working to put this together and bring it forward. And I don't think it would have happened without his involvement. His involvement in a lot of other things as well. I mean, you look around at a lot of the PAG programs, and they all bear his hand and his mark. That said, the board yesterday appointed Cherie Campbell as the interim director, and they'll be developing a plan for finding a successor. That's something that the board will still have to be working on.
12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. Jim DeGroot is with us. Jim, with the RTA. And Jim, as Dylan pointed out, there was a lot of news coming out of that meeting, that PAG meeting, on a couple of projects that are in the pipeline, somewhat controversial projects, the Broadway widening project and the Valencia roadway segment. Mm-hmm. For Valencia, pretty much the county is handing that over to RTA to manage that project?
Yeah, that project has a number of phases. Drivers along Valencia will probably remember the work that was completed this past winter. Valencia and Alvernon intersection was upgraded. The county's about to go to construction on a piece from the Valencia-Alvernon intersection to Wilmot. So it'll go through the I-10 interchange, widening it from 4 lanes to 6 lanes, and along the frontage of the Pima Air and Space Museum to Wilmot. And Wilmot, I think, will be a significant road in the future. I mean, you may not think of it today, but I know that Davis Monthan is looking at the potential of opening up regularly a new gate in that area. And the Arizona Department of Transportation is also looking at where east end of the Barraza Aviation Parkway will ultimately project, and it may very well be in and about that area.
This is a huge project.
Yeah. What we've been handed back is the piece between Wilmot and Kolb, so that last mile. And I would add that in the next implementation period, we break our plan up into four periods of 5 years. The next 5-year period out, we'll be looking at doing work on Valencia between Kolb and Houghton. So that'll also be expanded in the future. But what we're looking at right now is our options, how we move forward with the Kolb-Valencia intersection. I know that there are a couple of alternatives that the county looked at. They preferred one and were beginning to work on design on that, and then had some political issues that they needed to deal with.
And I also mentioned Broadway, and real quickly before we take the break there, of course, that's been controversial about the widening project for Broadway. What was approved yesterday? Just some more planning?
This was actually normally this would be a perfunctory act, but because this project has got so much interest in it, we felt that we needed to bring it in other than on the consent calendar. And it was basically just moving money we've already committed to the project from right-of-way acquisition to continue the planning. The city's already put the right-of-way acquisition advanced work on hold, so we felt it was appropriate to continue funding the planning effort.
You are listening to the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show, 12:15. Now, Dylan Smith is with me from TucsonSentinel.com. Jim DeGrood from the Regional Transportation Authority. We will continue our Friday Focus interview after we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors still to come. We'll talk with Mr. DeGrood, get an update on the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Jim DeGroote is with us from the Regional Transportation Authority, and joining me in the questioning today, Dylan Smith. He is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Jim, a quick update on the streetcar construction. I understand a little more than half through its 475-day construction schedule.
Yeah, it's moving right along. It's not without its challenges. Whenever you are opening up a street with 100-year-old infrastructure in it, you never quite know exactly what you're going to find, and unfortunately, that does create some challenges for those folks that are working out there, and probably even more challenges for the people that have businesses and homes along those areas. So they're working through that. They are past the 50% point on the construction. All things considered, we're about on target where we ought to be. Even a little positive in the budget side. So there was a very substantial contingency in the budget, and we're not chewing into that too well.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
On the streetcar, how much is the delay in having the cars themselves delivered going to hold up the whole schedule?
Actually, at this point, as it stands today, we don't believe there's going to be a delay. That can change. These are vehicles that the first time that that an American company's been manufacturing streetcars in the last 60 years. They're pricey. We're looking at roughly, close to $30 million for these vehicles. We want them done right. And, that's something that the manufacturer is also committed to. And, in fact, they have on the production line ahead of us is cars for the city of Portland. And those vehicles are they're working through the bugs, if you will, on those vehicles. And as a result, they're compressing our schedule. We had some float in the schedule, but that schedule is now compressed, and we probably will see a little bit of a delay in the delivery of the first vehicles here. But at this point in time, the manufacturer is telling us that we should have all the vehicles when we were going to have them all here.
The streetcar is supposed to take on riders. There's months and months of testing that was built into the schedule. Is that something that can be sort of squeezed up to sort of accommodate the delay in delivery?
I know that the team's looking at that. I don't know how much squeezing we can do on it. I think certainly the first vehicles will probably be, I mean, there'll probably be more vehicles on the street simultaneously going through testing. So I think that's a way that probably can be addressed.
Because the whole idea is to put them on the tracks in Tucson, run them without carrying people, but then try and make sure the whole system is working the way it should, right?
You got it. You want to make sure that the doors open properly, that the air conditioning works, and that that all the systems are flawless before you open it up for passenger use.
Swinging back around a little bit to the Broadway widening project, just this morning I was talking with one of the small business owners in that stretch of Broadway, and he was conveying the concerns of many of the small business owners there about the timeline and the uncertainty they have about whether they should invest in their businesses or not. They don't know if their business is going to be knocked down, if most of their parking lot's going to be taken away, so that you have people who don't know, should they repaint their building, should they redo their air conditioning, fix their roof, or should they have to look at moving somewhere else? And what can we do to sort of, you know, give them a little bit more certainty about what's going to happen as these discussions are ongoing about exactly how the project's going to proceed?
You know, we definitely appreciate that comment. And I know that whole corridor has been in that limbo since the 80s. I mean, every property on the north side of Broadway had been identified for taking, back in 1987, I think. So these businesses have been in that situation for quite a long time. And I think it's, you know, what you're seeing in the corridor right now is some decline as a result of that. But that said, I think what we really need to do is stay focused on the planning process. Let's bring this issue to a head as quickly as we can, make sure that everybody's talking. I know that the Citizens Task Force and the project team has been working diligently on this. While this is all occurring, we have quite a bit of public interest that's being expressed at all of these meetings. The team has got a lot on its plate to grind through, and I imagine we're probably looking at 12 to 16 months before we'll have really a pretty clear idea of what we're going to be proposing on that.
Do you think it's likely we're going to end up with a narrower roadway than what was originally proposed in this widening?
Well, you know, I think that's in everyone's interest. I think we want to see as much of the properties that we do end up having to take, we want the largest remnants available so that new businesses can be developed in that corridor. And for those businesses that, you know, may be on the margins of the improvements, if there's a way that we can keep them, man, we certainly want to do that. So it's in everyone's interest to narrow it to the extent we can without compromising what we're going to get in the way of mobility. And that's the reason we're doing this.
One idea I've heard floated by a couple of people on the task force was to take some of the buildings and turn them into parking for the businesses that remain, for those people who might be losing a significant amount of their parking lots.
Yeah, I think we have to do that, because one of the big challenges on that corridor is all the driveways and all the head-in parking that's, you know, basically nosing into the front glass of the business.
There seem to be more cutouts than curbs in that whole stretch.
Indeed. And you know, those driveways create friction along the roadway, so that slows the vehicles, and it becomes it's a real hazard for pedestrians and bicyclists.
Jim DeGroot is with us from the RTA. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. I wanted to ask you about one of the other marquee projects in the planning stages, Grant Road. What's the timetable on that?
Well,
as if you don't have enough on your plate, right?
Well, it's exciting. Yeah. You got a lot going on, and I'm glad we were talking about this following the Broadway discussion, because through the Grant Road process, we did exactly that. We looked at ways that we could narrow the corridor, not have a 150-foot wide swath of a roadway like we might see in some of the outlying suburban areas. That's a good example of ways that we can use context-sensitive solutions to address the roadway design. With respect to Grant Road, first phase under construction, that's at at Oracle and Grant. That'll be our first, or actually may not be our first indirect left turn, because right now the Oracle and Ina intersection is out to bid, and that one will move very swiftly. For people familiar with that area, we've got tremendous congestion. It's one of the most congested intersections in the region. In fact, I think it may be the most, and it also has amongst the highest volumes of traffic in the region. So you put those together, and it really begs for some improvements, and you've got high turning volumes. What this project will involve would be developing a double right turn lane for those people that are making the westbound to northbound move. So that's why that old gas station is no longer there. And then we'll be looking at indirect left turns on Ina, so we won't have that the queuing up of traffic projecting into the through lanes anymore, and basically grinding the east-west movement to a halt.
Lots going on with the RTA, which was approved in 2006, so you're really in the second kind of five-year phase right now. Jim DeGroot, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
You have a great holiday season, Jim.
Thanks to
you as well. Dylan, you stick around. We've got our roundtable coming up.
I shall be here.
Okay.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. House Speaker John Boehner says no progress to report on the fiscal cliff talks. He says that President Obama has yet to respond to a Republican plan for avoiding the tax hikes and spending cuts due to kick in with the new year. The U.S. and Russia will keep trying to put aside differences over how to deal with the Syrian civil war. Secretary of State Clinton says, though, that the U.S. will keep insisting on the departure of Syrian President Bashar Assad. More than 2,000 people at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and many more around the globe marking the 71st anniversary of the Japanese attack that killed thousands of people and launched the U.S. into the Second World War. On Wall Street, the Dow up 55 points, the NASDAQ down 12. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
/12:25 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Local journalists have the opportunity to sound off on the week's top stories, and there is never a shortage of week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Mari Herreras is with us. Mari from the Tucson Weekly, where she is a staff writer, and Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, an online news service. If you have a comment or question, you are always welcome to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, the Reporters Roundtable presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Mari, good to see you. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We're delighted to have you on. One of the areas that you cover for the weekly education, namely TUSD, there's been no shortage of things to cover in that area. There are two meetings, I guess, coming up, one tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and another at 6 p.m. on Monday at the Catalina Magnet High School on East Pima. This is about the 14 schools that have been earmarked for closure. Is this just a formality, Mari? Why are these meetings being held?
I guess, you know, at this point, a lot of people can be pretty jaded and cynical and say, oh, it's just a formality. I don't know if it really is. I mean, it is a formality in the sense that this is something that has to happen as part of the process. They need those public hearings as part of the legal process before they proceed to the final vote on the 20th. But the other side of the coin is that, I mean, I was at a parent meeting at BRCTA, and Michael Hicks was the only board member that was in attendance at that meeting. He did say that on the 20th, he will not vote for any school closures. He made that pretty clear. But he also made it clear to a lot of the parents there that if they're going to want to keep their school open, that they need to show up. Every school needs to show up at those public hearings with some sound alternatives to provide the board. And, I don't know if that's really going to do the trick. But I do know that there are quite a few groups of people out there that are really combing through the TUSD budget right now, trying to come up with some alternatives.
Because the shortfall, Dylan, is $17 million. And Dr. Petticone, the TUSD superintendent, has said that even if you closed the 14 schools, it would really only erase about $5 million of that deficit.
Well, it's unlikely that all 14 of these schools will be closed. They're sort of competing proposals that are being examined. They're looking at closing about 8 or 10 of them, right?
Right.
And there are, they're not going to close, you know, say every school on the west side of the, there are three or four of them over there that are on the list. They need to keep some of those open. They're, this is sort of the process by which they're determining, well, which ones should we shut down?
So, Mari, this 14 is just pretty much a starting point?
Well, we started this whole process, you know, if you remember, we started in May when a special Saturday meeting was called by the superintendent where folks were given that info that, hey, we're in such a, we have the $17 million deficit and we need to do something drastic, and that drastic thing would be to close 30 schools. So that was put out there initially, that number, and it's been, you know, batted around and was discussed at some of the community forums that were put together by the district to discuss criteria and how this district should go about. So some people have been critical of the district, saying, well, wait a second, what did we do all that stuff for? We said 30 schools, and that was going to be more than – that would just do it. You know, that would – we'd never have to come to these meetings again. We'd have something to start from. But – so I don't know, Dylan, actually, if it's – you know, some people – feel that the 14 isn't enough, and you know, obviously,
would shutting down 30 schools actually close the gap?
I think it would have closed the gap, yeah, and would
that's
have kept,
a drastic measure.
My goodness, there 30 schools, and we keep hearing about these 13,000 empty seats in the district,
and how we got to this point. You
and
know,
enrollment continuing to drastically decline,
right? And
Actually, this year, enrollment in lower grades is up slightly. So that might show that the demographics are starting to even out.
Which I guess gives them support for the idea of mothballing quite a few of these schools, with the idea, intention would be that you mothball and secure these buildings appropriately, unlike the other schools that they didn't mothball appropriately, that we've seen, you know, broken windows, vandalism, neighborhoods that are not happy about that. But, you know, the idea is that we'll mothball these and somehow the turnaround and we'll be there. And when it does, we'll be ready to provide a school for that neighborhood again.
The mothballing is actually part of the reason that the immediate savings from shutting down a school is not that great. It costs money to board up the windows and, you know,
and then get still maintain it,
exactly, keep the building healthy.
And then try to figure out what to do with the building. The other story I want to delve into, illegal immigration. The numbers show that illegal immigration clearly dropping. Dylan, for the first time since 1910, Hispanic immigration last year was topped by immigrants from Asia.
Well, you know, we're seeing many, many more immigrants from Asia, you know, from China, from Southeast Asia. And actually, from immigration from Latin America, we're seeing Mexican immigrants drop and Central American immigrants increasing a great deal.
Go ahead, Mari.
I was just going to be a Beninsky. Here I go.
No, go ahead.
The thing with when you cast this story, I think one of those things that always needs to be discussed is our immigration system and how visas are given. And when we talk about illegal immigration going down, there's a variety of different reasons for that. But when we talk about Asian immigration going up, you know, we're also looking at Asian immigration in terms that's had an actual existing lottery system that functions within our visa and the way we bring professionals into our country. That system doesn't work essentially, and that's been part of the reason why when people say, well, you know, one of those illegal immigrants, just get in line like everybody else does. Well, if they did, it's because it takes about, you know, 15 to 20 years for someone to finally get their visa from Mexico to enter the country and other Central American countries. Asia, that's not the case. You know, East Indians, not the case. The system works for people in that area, and that's partially, I think, why we see that increase. And also because, you know, there's other reasons. The Mexican economy's better. It's not so great to enter the border, you know.
Yeah, the Sonoran economy is certainly doing well. Mari Hararas is with us, staff writer from the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith, editor, publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. And staying with immigration, there's this bipartisan group made a big splash this week proposing a new immigration plan. Mari and Dylan, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What's the basis of this plan? Mari, do you kind of have an idea what this is all about?
Well, I guess we could We could say it's about a lot of things. It's about probably making folks, helping Arizona regain some footing in, as being a sane place to be, which is kind of the acronym of the plan to begin with. I also think that the fact that they haven't brought in any of the state legislators or the governor to be part of this planning says a lot, too. And
lawmakers are not happy about that.
No, they are not.
They've been overlooked.
Yes. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
But I also think that what's interesting is that people who are behind it, that are Republicans, that have been supportive of 1070, like the Maricopa County attorney, and then you've got Kyle and Flake that are supporting this. Well, Flake, you know, has had positive pro-immigration stance in the past. And I think that's been an interesting thing because I think it does provide some cover to these folks to be able to say, yeah, you know, maybe we do need to look at this a little different. What it means, though, is still unclear, I think, in terms of what real immigration reform. I feel like bringing up border security and making border security one of the top things on the thing, to me, says we may be dealing with some of the same old thing.
And the border security that Dylan, we had another special agent, who was shot. A Border Patrol agent shot and killed a man in the Bavakivari Mountains on the Tohono O'odham Nation. I guess that is now the third fatal shooting by a Border Patrol agent in the Tucson sector since October 2nd.
Well, actually, there was another one on Tuesday. There was the fatal shooting on Sunday afternoon that happened down just north of the border. And then on Tuesday evening, there was a non-fatal shooting incident out near Gila Bend. So we've had in the past, couple of months, four people shot. Three of them killed. One of those, the Border Patrol agent who was killed by friendly fire. And over the past several years, a number of people who have been killed on the border.
What's going on?
Well, you've got me. I mean, I'm not out there in these situations, and in these last two incidents, the Border Patrol and the FBI are being incredibly tight-lipped. They with the Sunday incident, especially, they were not proactive in reporting it to the media at all. They waited until a couple of tips leaked out and didn't say a word until reporters called them. And basically, all they've done in both of these shootings is acknowledge that they happened, that they're under investigation. We really don't know anything. In the first incident on the Sunday where someone was killed, we don't even know the gender of the person who was killed, much less any sort of ID or where they were from, what they were doing, nothing.
And we now know where the governor was. Mari, she was in Afghanistan.
Right.
There was a lot of speculation. What's the governor doing? I mean, she's in Washington. Well, I guess she was in Washington to catch a flight to Afghanistan.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably get briefed and all that stuff. But it was fun while it lasted, you know. We have to admit that it was fun, you know, where's Jan and, you know. But probably good that some people just didn't really put all that fun out there and waited a little bit longer for us to know she was in Afghanistan.
And
she's made these trips before, and it's fairly common when, someone with a high profile goes to a war zone that word doesn't go out. It would just make them that much more likely for an attempted attack.
Dylan, let's go ahead, Mari.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with Mr. Dylan there.
Okay, want to talk a little bit about local politics. Looks like Jeff Rogers, after two terms as the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, has decided he does not want a third term.
He told me the other day that he's not going to run again in the beginning of January. So the Pima Dems are going to have to come up with a new leader. They're also going to have to sort of reorganize the rest of their staff. They sort of combination slash fired, resign their executive director this week. And there's also a little bit of ferment going on over on the Republican side. Frank Antinori tell you the other day
he
that he is not running for the county chairmanship.
Frank will not accept, even if he's drafted, he will not be the GOP party chair.
If elected, he will not serve.
Yes, and I guess their meeting, the Pima County GOP, GOP chair, is coming up a week from Saturday. Have you heard any names about the Democrats who they're looking at?
I think word on this is just, starting to get out, and I haven't heard a lot of jockeying for position, but I'm sure that'll come over the next month.
I haven't heard either. I know that there have been groups of folks, of GOP folks, which I was surprised at, who have had not such love for each other, that have been getting together and meeting on the sly here and there. But what does that mean? I mean, they've had such interesting meetings and such in the past. Who knows?
And the past couple of years have not seen a very united Pima County Republican Party.
No.
That's for sure. Mari Horaris, thank you very much for being with us. And Dylan Smith, thanks a lot. Hope you both have a great weekend and a great holiday season.
You too. Bye.
You too.
Thanks
and everybody else out there.
Thank you very much.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
That music signals the weekend on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with the culinary cruiser Matt Russell is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And tomorrow, Saturday, December 8th, the New Mexico Tamale Fiesta in downtown Silver City. That should be worth the drive over to Silver. Plenty of great places to stay in the area, including Gila Hot Springs Resort, Lake Roberts Motel, and Bear Creek Cabins. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, the Buckmaster Show culinary cruiser. He is also Inside Tucson business food writer and famed public communications and public relations man in town, always cruising for a Christmas party, and he's got the Santa suit on. Last year, Matt, as I recall, you had to put a big pillow inside the Santa suit, but I understand this year no pillow is necessary. I guess you've been doing some good eating.
Pillows need not apply this year. Sure.
And now, not only have you got the Santa hat, you're also putting on that little Russian hat in honor of Tucson's first Russian restaurant.
Absolutely. We're really excited. Fans of authentic Ukrainian cuisine are shouting, Ipa! This week with the opening of Kalina over on Tankaverde near Bear Canyon Road. Based on recipes from Chef Kalina's own mother, the menu bill features such regional staples like borscht and chicken Kiev and lamb dumplings, of course pickled herring, and an impressive array of Ukrainian pastries and other desserts. They're open for lunch, high tea, and dinner, so give Kalina a try this weekend and say Ipa for yourself.
Toys for Tots has a drop-off this week, weekend at Risky Business. Get some hot wings while you're there.
Yeah, Risky Business on Sunrise and Cold starting at noon until 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Bring a new and unwrapped toy for the Salvation Army for Toys for Tots. And while you're there, you got to order the Ghost Chicken Wings. These babies aren't even on the menu, though, because they're so hot. But listen, if you special order them, the chef is going to personally deliver these wings just to make sure that you know what you're in for. I had them last night. And we're talking serious heat. I love it. Risky Business at noon tomorrow on Sunrise and Cold.
Does the chef bring out a fire extinguisher as well?
Yeah, I think I needed one, one for each wing last night. My goodness.
Delicious treats always at the street fair on the 4th Avenue activity this weekend.
Yeah, what can we say, Bill, that we haven't said already about the 4th Avenue Street Fair? All up and down 4th Avenue, all weekend long. It's really one of our favorite events. More than 400 arts and craft booths, street musicians, tons of family activities. And for foodies, Bill, there's so much to celebrate about 4th Avenue. Our pick for this weekend is Delectables, a great patio for people watching, and I think some of the best crab cakes in town. Let's hit the street this weekend on 4th Avenue.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I also want to put a plug in, and I know you know these folks over at Main Gate Square. Tomorrow, Santa arrives from 1 to 4, and then sunset, Hanukkah celebration, lighting of the menorah, and then 5 to 7, dinner with Santa, Matt Russell, at The Fix. And if you wear your favorite holiday sweater, you get 10% off the meal. How's that?
Oh, I love it. Fix it. Tucson's Mac and Cheese headquarters. I can't wait.
Hey, we want you to have a great weekend as we prepare for Christmas and the holidays. Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, and have a good one.
Cheers to you, Bill. Thanks.
Support for the Buckmaster Show on Friday comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Folks, Culligan, why do we like it? Well, it simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon from now 5 to 7, John C. Scott, the Dean of Local Talk. John's show has expanded from 1 hour now to a 2 hour show here on KVOI, The Voice. Then on Monday morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. But you know, the local programming continues here starting Saturday. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, Phil Cedar will have his Green Things gardening show. So the local talk, the expert talk, continues on the weekends on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, we hope she feels better. She's had a little bit of a cold. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.